Each Monday on the program, we reserve this space for our host commentary called Can I Just Tell You? As you may know, Michelle Martin has been away for a while. The reason, unfortunately, is a family tragedy. She stopped by our studios briefly to record her impressions for you of the last couple of weeks.
I want to talk about something really hard for me. The subject may not be appropriate for our younger listeners, so you can be ready to turn the dial if you see fit. And with that being said, I want you to hear the voice of a very good man, my brother, Norman McQueen Jr. I interviewed him for this program on the 6th anniversary of 9/11.
I have a whole different outlook on life. I'm a little hesitant to make long-range plans about anything. I think that if there's something you want to do in your life, if there's a vacation that you want to take or someplace you want to see, I think you should do it now and not wait for retirement or plan too far ahead. And that's the way I feel about life now.
Norman McQueen Jr. was a firefighter in New York City in a privately funded unit called the Fire Patrol. He worked at Fire Patrol No. 2. His firehouse name was Mac. His friends called him Wade. My sister and I just called him Brother. He was funny, handsome, kind at heart, physically strong, an extremely devoted father, a loving husband, and a supportive, if occasionally annoying, little brother. 2 weeks ago today, he took his own life. I'd be lying if I tried to pretend I'm not angry. Stages of grief and all that. The only problem is I can't figure out exactly with whom or what I should be angry. Should I be angry with the 9/11 hijackers who flew the plane into the building that crushed the rig he sometimes drove and one of his closest friends along with it? The macho culture that made him reluctant to get help, even though the recurring storms of grief and rage that washed over him after 9/11 cost him his first marriage and threatened his second? Should I blame the inconsistent and perhaps even incompetent care he got when he finally did seek help? The job that disappeared due to budget cuts? The recession that left his home stripped of value? Should I blame his brain circuitry? Our gene pool? Because I am a journalist and I've been trained to research things, I now know that in this country, death by one's own hand is more common than by the hands of others. Some 33,000 people took their own lives last year that we know about. That's almost twice as many people as were murdered. In both circumstances, the deaths that receive public attention are few and far between. My brother's death did not, so far as I can tell, merit a paragraph in any of his hometown papers. And I understand that. He wasn't famous, although his picture appeared in the newspaper once when he responded at the scene of a terrible crash. But that's about it. His death didn't shatter the earth, just our world. Now, I know some people think taking your own life is a selfish act, but I cannot bring myself to see it that way. I see it as selfless, in the sense that you come to believe yourself has no value, that everybody would be better off without you. I think my brother thought he was a failure, that with his long bout of unemployment, he could not live up to what was expected of him as a man, and that we'd all be better off without him. He was so wrong. My brother was a good man. He was the first to offer to carry a bag of heavy groceries, to push a wheelchair up a steep ramp, to change a stranger's tire on a rainy night. Years ago, when I was a newspaper reporter and working on a story in New York, he insisted on driving me to all my interviews because he thought I had been out of the hood too long and might not be able to handle myself. I didn't have the heart to tell him that I had just had my car windows bashed in on the assignment I had just finished and lived to tell about it. And I tried to remember not to mention it when I climbed up into an office building that had just been bombed. I'm telling you all this because I refuse to be ashamed. I refuse to be ashamed of him or what he did. I hate what he did to himself, but I hate even more whatever it is that caused him to feel that his life had no value. Years from now, maybe there will be a pill you can take to stop this. Maybe, like the premature babies we can now save or the illnesses we can now treat, maybe we will find a way to treat despair. Until then, I hope that those who cannot see a way out of their own particular darkness will think of another good man and think of how much he was loved and is missed, and remember that they too are loved and will find some way to see the light.
Do you think that there will ever come a time when you don't think about it?
No, it's one of those things that it'll stay with me. It'll stay with everybody who's down there who survived it.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me. Say hello to Billy and the babies.
I sure. I love you.
Love you too.
Huh? Bye-bye.
Bye.
Funeral services for Norman McQueen Jr. are tomorrow. Michelle Martin will be out for the remainder of the week. If you'd like to send her an email of condolence, you can do so by contacting our website, npr.org. And that's our program for today. I'm Allison Keyes, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. There's more talk tomorrow. Tony Cox will be sitting in for the rest of the week.